Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I am the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator podcast, a show that works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. On today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Pat Morrell, the Chief Revenue Officer and co-founder of IWIN, who will help us explore how their system really allows CPAs to better advise their client in the areas of revenue process automation. And that includes billing, payment processing, collections, and overall account management. So we've got a lot to cover today. Pat, welcome to the Advisory Accelerator podcast.
Jeff, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
You bet. And full disclosure, not only am I interviewing Pat today, but we're also interviewing Pat and his company to be part of the solution at Engineered Advisory. So we're looking forward to working with you as a client and appreciate everything that you've done with us to figure out what solution is going to best meet our needs. So I'm excited to share some of what we've learned with our listeners as we go through the podcast. And one of the things that I thought was interesting on your website is you've done a nice job of kind of historically calling out what the revenue process used to be. It had, you know, pre-1980, where it's almost 100% manual processes, and then we got spreadsheets in the 80s and more internet-enabled tools in the 2000s. And that brings us up to today. And so talk a little bit about what IWIN does as a product at a high level, and then we can dig down a little bit deeper from there.
Sure. And I love that you put this on a historical continuum, because I think we, before starting the business, were operators on that continuum. And actually, the core use case that drove us to start IWIN is we had a not so great billing experience as clients of a very big firm. And it set us off on this journey to figure out how we could improve the client experience specifically through the lens of the billing and collections experience. So the high level on IWIN is we work right now with about 80 of the world's largest CPA firms, and we are helping them internally automate their billing, collections, and payment processes. We quite literally built software that plugs into some of the legacy practice management systems that a lot of these traditional firms operate off of, what they use for their time, their billing, et cetera. And we pull out some data and we present data to clients in a modern interface that allows clients to see their payment history, to pay their bills. Oftentimes, you know, folks listening to this, you probably have clients who have multiple business entities. They probably have multiple projects going on at any given time. What we've observed is a lot of those times, clients just want an easy way to go in, see their invoice, one click and pay, and we've created the apparatus to do that. And in doing so, in kind of what we say, unlocking data from this legacy practice management infrastructure. And by that, I mean, you know, again, firms listening to this, y'all probably work off of things like CCH Access or Thomson Reuters Practice CS, those traditional tools. By unlocking those data, we've been able to not only build solutions that automate really our core focus right now, billing, collections, and payments, but we've expanded to additional use cases throughout, again, Jeff, to bring it full circle, what we call the quote-unquote revenue cycle, kind of that cyclical flow of behaviors that underlie the flow of revenue to a firm, you know, everything from acquiring a client all the way to getting paid. We're now moving upstream, and we've made this announcement recently. We have an engagement letter solution. So all of the nice bells and whistles of automation that we've brought to billing and collections, we now basically give clients and their firms kind of a one-click easy button for automating engagement letters and client onboarding. So big visions, big appetites, and by unlocking data, we're able to do a lot. So that's where we are right now, 3 years in.
So talk a little bit. I mean, 80 accounting firms, you know, at the upper end of the market is pretty impressive. Let's dig into that a little bit. So IWIN, I'm assuming, is the system that they're using to automate their revenue process. But then I'm guessing they're also recommending and referring that to their clients as well. So talk about the dynamics of that relationship you have with the CPA firm.
Sure. Yeah. So our firms, it's an interesting dynamic we have with our firms. Yes, they are using us as their internal systems. And the value proposition, Jeff, there being you plug in IWIN and basically you can put on autopilot all the billing collections work. So measurably what happens is your day sales outstanding decline. You save a lot of time. You know, instead of your partners making collections calls day in, day out, they don't have to because we can automate things like statements. And we give clients an experience where they can literally go to one portal, click pay, and be done. So firms love it because it's unlocking kind of time at the margins that's freeing up capacity, which when we talk about transitioning to kind of advisory services, that's a paramount concern. One of the foundational stats, Jeff, for us that we see is 55% of CPA time is spent not on client service work. It's spent on something in the administrative back office. And for Iowan, as we think about our value proposition to the market, if we can turn that 55% into 25%, holy cow, that's a tranche of 30% of billable or workable time that could be allocated to new service lines, allowing folks to kind of staff up, et cetera. So we see us as kind of a behind-the-scenes asset to unlock capacity. And what's been interesting, to your point, a lot of our CPA firm customers work with other CPA firms. So yes, absolutely. What we've seen is they have a great experience with us. Their clients have a great experience paying through us. And then there becomes a virtuous cycle of referral where we can kind of propagate that trend of capacity unlocking just by virtue of operating as we operate. So it's one of the things I love about the CPA space is how well-networked and I mean this in a good way, talkative the firms are. They all share best practices and ideas. And as we're now, again, 3 years into this journey of Iowan, we've been growing very quickly. And that flywheel is spinning even faster as a function of that network effect.
You know, it's interesting. And I really like the mindset of unlocking or freeing up capacity at that partner level. I do quite a bit of speaking. And one of the questions I use to kind of get air moving in the room is, hey, by a show of hands, how many of you have done work over the past week that honestly should have been done at a level below you or automated? And predictably, every hand goes up in the room. We create a nice breeze. But we look at that and, you know, I've got the benefit of having a little bit of data at our disposal through, you know, we own the Rosenberg survey, we own Inside Public Accounting. So we've got a lot of those benchmarking and analytic points to reference. And what's amazing to me, staggering to me, is the amount of work that we're just holding in WIP and not billing, and you know how reluctant the partners are to follow up on the billing and what some of the aging for the receivables are with these firms. And I look at this and I say, okay, if you've got an automated solution where you know the partner's involvement plummets, we can continue to move the customer through that revenue journey, and I can reduce WIP and I can free up capacity for the partners to be doing advisory-minded services where the value is. That's just a win-win. And we see in the data how much lack of capacity there is at the partner level and what the AR aging and what the WIP looks like in these firms. And in a lot of cases, it's simply not pretty.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the data are jarring in some cases by a firm's own admission. I mean, I think most firms would kind of look at their days in WIP or their days in AR and say, yeah, that's not ideal. That's not what we want. And of course, the irony is, this is the same firms that in many ways are having some of their best years ever. And it's a function of some macro kind of tailwinds in favor of the profession. What we've observed further, though, is while the data perhaps, and the rubber meets the road day-to-day experience is unique to the CPA space, there's a thematic consistency between this challenge in the CPA space and other professions that we've worked in. So just for context for the listeners, I do not come from a CPA background. I'm a career software entrepreneur. And Jeff, I think I've shared this with you and your team. My previous venture prior to Iowan was a healthcare technology business. Basically, we were focused on automating financial processes and interchanges of data between large hospital systems and insurance companies. And the core focus there was doing that automatically, so that doctors and nurses wouldn't have to do it manually. And the same pains that persisted in healthcare are what we see in the CPA space, which is you got high dollar per hour, or high salary professionals who want to operate at highest and best use, kind of the highest and most creative end of their licensure. And they sit there and 8 hours a week, they're beating their head against the wall doing something manual in a spreadsheet. And what we want to do is unlock that time. And again, you hear me say that a lot. Heck, it's funny, we actually have a user conference in a couple of weeks, and it's called Unlock. One of our missions is to unlock time and money for professional services firms. But the idea here being that there's a compounding return if you're able to do this well. If you can kind of cut in half your days in WIP just because you can get bills out the door faster, you're not only going to free up time. You know, that's, you know, time manually spent on billing is now time for business development, taking a client to play golf, you know, calling a client to say, hey, how's your business? I mean, all the things we want to do as professionals, we now have time for. But here's something else that's really fascinating. There's a direct correlation between the speed of billing and billed realization rates. A lot of firms we talk to, a lot of the firms we've seen have said, hey, listen, you know, we know that, you know, we're not billing realization at the rate we want because there's some ungoverned processes here and there's behaviors of just, you know, we just always give discounts. We write some realization down just because that's what we've always done. And what we've observed is the likelihood of writing down realization increases the more time lapses between the date of the last WIP entry and the date the invoice is sent. So the inverse of that is also true. And we've corroborated that. The faster you bill, the less likely you are going to write something down. And it's totally logical because I always use this example. You know, if you pull an all-nighter for a client and then you wait 2 months to bill them, you're kind of going to forget how hard you beat yourself up to do right by them. But if you bill 3 days later, you are going to remember every minute of that, and you are going to command the revenues that you rightly earned. So we're excited because we're not just unlocking time. We're showing a compounding benefit to the bottom line of the firm as well by growing realization rates.
Now, Pat, I know on your website, you know, in terms of target market, you're looking at, you know, maybe the 500 largest accounting firms in the country. So you're probably $20 million in revenue on up. Is there a floor at which firms are kind of priced out or the utility starts to not make sense? Like, what's the minimum size firm that you look at and say, hey, this is our sweet spot?
Jeff, great question. I'm glad you asked because frankly, the total addressable market as we see it is expanding in both directions. Actually, when we started the firm, yes, we thought we were really going to be best economically suited to support, say, the top 200-300 firms. But what we now see is firms all the way down to those with, say, even $2 million in top-line revenues are a fantastic fit for us, not just to realize value in terms of statistical impact on cash flow, freeing up time, but we have kind of a fee model that makes economic sense as well. So I think our biggest customer now, you're right, Seed is a fantastic firm, very impressive. Everyone knows them by name. We have a number of firms that are outside of the top 500 that are doing $3-4 million in top line revenues, growing quickly, of course, but we've designed a model that makes sense for them, makes sense for us. So we're excited to see that. Rephrase, it's unfortunate that the pains we see at the big firms are felt up and down the chain, but we're encouraged because those pains are pains we know we can solve, and we figured out a model that allows us to do that. So yes, $2 million a year firms, fantastic fit for IWIN.
All right, that's fantastic. And just to reiterate that for our listeners, so there's no confusion, you know, it $2 million firm and on up, which is well below, obviously, the top 500 firms in the country. And it sounds like you've been able to do something with a pricing model that makes it more palatable to those smaller firms. So let's come back to that in a minute. But as you're reaching out to a firm says, hey, I want this, right? I want to improve WIP. I want to improve realization. I want to improve AR aging. I want to be more profitable as a firm. You know, I'm guessing the number one hurdle that you've got to get over is what system does it replace and how do I get a new system adopted in my firm? Because it's amazing how the tax season is now year round. You know, firms used to have a little bit of downtime where they could focus on a big technology installation or something like that. And now I mean, there's a couple pockets, but for the most part, I mean, they're just busy. So what kind of resistance do you get from potential customers when they're just trying to get their arms around the lift that it takes to install a system like IWIN?
I'm thrilled you asked me that question because we spent about a year behind the scenes doing a lot of heavy duty engineering to make sure that the answer I'm about to give is corroborated and grounded in reality. The very sincere answer, Jeff, is it is not a big lift for us. And I say that because we are not asking firms to do a holistic rip and replace of their practice management system. In fact, it's the opposite. You can leave your practice management system in place, and with a couple of toggles and some switches and a little bit of testing, we can integrate our solution. We're talking in a matter of weeks. And that is true across basically every practice management system in the space. We've done and have in the wild in production integrations with, again, Thomson Reuters Practice CS, CCH Pro System and Access, Practice Engine on-premise and cloud, Star, Dell Tech Maconomy, QuickBooks, you name it, we've kind of covered the market. And I mentioned, you know, we spent a year doing some engineering. We started this company in June of 2020, so peak COVID. And the reason we focused on this use case of billing and collections is because we started interviewing CFOs, managing partners, firm administrators, billing managers of top 500 firms. we were looking for a corroboration of use case and pain. They said, hey, two things are true. Iwin, if you guys are going to do anything of value, one, give us the easy button for billing, collections, and payments. Give us a cash flow no-brainer. And two, make sure it plays nice with all the other stuff we have in place, technologically speaking. So for about a year, nobody knew about us because we were consciously under the radar. We did not announce ourselves yet. And it's because we were doing all that integration work so that when we did come to market and say, hey, here's us saying that we got the greatest thing since sliced bread, we could back it up with some really robust integration work. And I think further, again, we have almost 80 customers now. One of the bright points for us is our net promoter score, Jeff, is I think our latest score is a 74, which is to say very good. Yeah, we're really proud of that. And a reflection of that metric is the ease of integration and the investment we make on what we call customer success, making sure you don't just buy the software, you get a lot of easy value out of it.
And just to give our listeners a little bit of context on that, the average NPS score across all U.S. businesses is a 16. The scale is negative 100 to positive 100. And Pat, yours was a 74?
It was a 74. And we
That's very proud of that. That is world class.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And listen, I got credit where it's due. I got to give a hat tip to my co-founder, Chris Furlong, who built, he and his team, I should say, built the software that makes people so happy. And my other co-founder, Tanner Fritz, who oversees our customer success team. His team oversees the implementations. They give people very detailed, this is how you use it guides. They help facilitate client-facing communications. You know, a firm wants to use our software. You got to tell clients there's a change in how you pay your bills. We have a whole playbook for how we do that. So this is very much a team effort that we go through to maintain that score.
You've got a pretty comprehensive website. I mean, there's a lot that I can learn just by visiting the site and learning a little bit more about it. And for our listeners, it's iwin.ai, A-I-W-Y-N.ai. And I would encourage you to come out here and check this out. But if I'm an accounting firm that likes what I see, who do I reach out to? How do I get the ball rolling? Take me through kind of the process that would end in a sale and then the process that would end in, you know, we switch the system on and you're ready to use it.
Absolutely. So first of all, folks can reach out to me. And I say that because there's obviously a unique partnership between Iwin and Engineered Advisory. And this is a premier partnership interest of mine. And I want to be a contact for any folks who are interested. You can email me at patrick.morell@iwin.ai. And my information is on the website as well, or reach out to me on LinkedIn. What would then happen is the following. You'd probably end up having two calls with us. The first would be some initial Q&A. What we like to do is get through some baseline, what's your firm pain point? What systems are you on? How can we help you? The subsequent call would then be a demo of the solutions that are going to make the most sense for your firm. Because again, we have, to your point, a wide range of solutions. We want to be sure that what we're going to present to you is applicable to the pain points you got. And if at that point you see a business case and a proposal, we'd want to map out some ROI for you, make it clear that it's either a validated business decision, or we'll tell you, hey, listen, you know what? We obviously can't help you. That is yet to happen, but we want to be totally transparent on the math. And then from the point of go, you sign a contract with us, you say, hey, we're ready to use Iwin. What we typically advise is you can anticipate between 4 and 6 weeks between date of signature and date of solution go live. And that is a reflection of, hey, listen, there are other projects underway. Your IT team may be busy, but really from a net standpoint, there's about 13 hours total of work that needs to be done from a testing, feedback, planning standpoint, and then it gets up and running. So this is a low lift. We move very quickly. And then from a pricing standpoint, oh, sorry, Jeff, go ahead. I can clarify pricing if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you finish pricing and then come back.
Perfect. We learned some lessons early based on feedback from customers. Firms did not want to be kind of nickel and dimed on per seat licenses or volume licenses. Jeff, one of the ideas we had initially is, oh, great, we're a billing and collections company. We'll just charge like per bill issued. But the variance between two firms of comparable size and the number of invoices they send was so dramatic, we said, no, we need a more intuitive and fair model. So listen, job to be done. Why does Iwin exist? We exist to strengthen and speed up firm cash flow. I mean, that's the metric by which our ROI is measured. So what we created is an index model that basically takes a firm's top line revenue, we drop it into a calculator, and based on the revenue size of your firm, we give you an annual license fee. And it's unlimited usage, unlimited users, and it scales as you grow. So a lot of our firms have, you know, doubled in size, and the revenue model will actually grow with them. Our fees won't double in size as well. It's actually a tiered model so that basically the net percentage of revenue equivalent they pay us decreases over time. Basically, we get cheaper as the firm grows, and it's exciting to see that.
All right, so let me just recap that a little bit. The thing I like initially is if I'm a firm and I just want to dip my toe in the water and learn more about it, the first call, you're going to learn about me. You're going to determine what my pain points are that may be different from my competitive firm down the street. And then as a result of that first call, you're going to do a demo that is actually customized to my specific situation. So speaking to how you can address the things that I have challenges with. And then if I decide that, yeah, this makes sense, I'm going to move forward, I've got a pricing model that kind of scales as my firm scales as I hit these different tiers, which I'm guessing is how you've opened this up to some of the smaller firms that we talked about a little bit earlier. And then once I pull the trigger, we're talking 4 to 6 weeks from the time we sign to the time I'm actually sending an invoice and everything's kind of turned on and functioning.
You nailed it.
That's impressive in terms of the function that you're talking about automating here. And I just, in the environment of the accounting firms today where staffing is a challenge, finding good people, keeping good people, you know, a lot of firms have a lot of bodies wrapped up in this revenue function where, hey, we can free them up. In some cases, maybe we can replace them or not need to replace them. I just think there's an accelerator here that happens by the automation that comes into this process. And I'm guessing you're seeing that in spades.
Precisely. Yeah, we've had firms who've been with us now for over two years, and they're seeing a consistency of ROI. And so again, compounding returns. Because the other piece that's value added, listen, we need to distill ourselves down so that you're paying Iowan X and you're getting in return X plus a heck of a lot more. And we show that through the DSO reduction, savings in merchant processing, et cetera. There's a range of qualitative benefits as well. And those are reflected in, it's not just we're saving billable professionals time, it's we're saving them the headache of having to spend that time on billing. And for anybody who's done billing out of a legacy practice management system, you know that's not the most pleasant thing in the world. And further, we're delivering kind of experiential wins to their clients as well. And I look at it this way, if you're a client, and we use this example all the time, I'm a client in the real estate business, and maybe I have, you know, dozens of different business entities. And if I'm going to pay my, you know, my bills to my CPA firm, without I may be looking at an hour's worth of handwriting checks and putting stuff in the mail, but when I went one click and I'm done. So we try to balance the quantitative ROI with the qualitative, because end of the day, this is, again, a people business, as we well know, and we want to deliver people-felt wins as they use our software.
Okay. So let me ask, I don't want to say the hard question, but probably a question that, you know, once the CPA gets excited about bringing this into his or her practice, then the technology people start creeping, and, you know, we have questions about, you know, how is this upgraded? What is the security, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So talk for a minute to our IT professionals that might be listening to this and give them some sense of what they're in for in terms of updates and security and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So first of all, to my friends in IT, and I am one of you, we're hosted in the Google Cloud, and all the security bells and whistles that come with that. We're PCI compliant, we're NACHA compliant. We are also SOC 2 Type 2 audited, and we have an updated report, totally clean, zero exceptions. So people are appreciative of that. Obviously, it's a flag to wave around data security. In terms of releases, yeah, so we are of the belief software is never finished. We are always constantly enhancing feature sets, but with that comes plenty of advance notice around kind of additional releases, and obviously being a cloud deployed asset makes it very easy to push those releases live. And then, yeah, all kinds of best-in-class SLAs in terms of uptime and data security. So what we found is, and again, I won't put words in the mouth of our IT sponsors, but we find that we're often among the easiest to deploy solutions. And we got some great testimonials on our website from some leading CIOs in the space who can corroborate that.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered kind of the gamut that an accounting firm would want to know as they evaluate the solution. We've talked about your process, how you diagnose and then prescribe a custom solution. We've talked about the timetable to implement. We've talked about your billing structure. You've been very generous and advise people that if they have questions that are part of the accelerator to reach out to you directly. And, you know, in your role as the chief revenue officer and the co-founder, I appreciate them being able to go directly to the top to ask their questions. And it sounds like the next stop step is exactly that, for me to reach out, schedule some time for you to get to know me. And what information should I bring to that initial phone call? Like, what do you want to know about how we're doing business right now that will help make that initial call productive?
Fantastic question, Jeff. Thank you for asking that. So the key things we're interested to understand are some initial blocking and tackling. How big is your firm? How many partners? What's your top line revenue? The practice management system that you have in place, and also how do you process payments currently? What are you using? Do you have people sending checks to the bank, et cetera? The big thing, though, we'd love to have a discussion, not around kind of bits and pieces of a tech stack, but what are the big strategic goals for your firm? Are you interested in, you know, cutting costs and, you know, freeing up some cash flow? Are you interested in really driving capacity? Are you just interested in getting a win for your people? Do you have folks who are really beating their head against the wall around billing, and they just need an easy button for it? What we find is firms want to do all those things, but they typically have a pretty clear stack rank of what they want to prioritize first. And in our experience, the more kind of transparent and to a certain degree even vulnerable firms can be as they get to know us, it helps us really calibrate how we can be a good business partner to them. So if you're willing to give us a 30-minute kind of back and forth discussion, we can then give you a 30 to 45-minute demo. And frankly, Jeff, folks are going to know within a couple of hours if Iowan is going to be a fit for them and how we can help. And we can typically take it there pretty quickly.
Awesome. Pat, I really want to thank you for taking the time today to further educate our listeners on the product. Again, full disclosure, we are in the process of building a relationship with Iowan and using them for some of the needs we have in our revenue process. It's been a good experience, and, you know, can share that with all of you that are considering having a conversation. But the first step is to reach out to Pat. Again, very gracious of you to provide your personal contact information for them to do that. And I encourage you to get that done, because if you take a look at your WIP, if you took a look at your AR aging, if you took a look at your receivables, you know, the realization piece is real. The closer you bill to doing the work, the more you're going to bill for doing that work, and the quicker you're going to capture that money at a higher realization point. And we see this in the Rosenberg survey. You know, if you want to know what correlates with net income per partner, it's rates and leverage. And if we can use tools like Iowan to help better leverage the time of the partners, then you can look forward to increasing net income per partner. It's as simple as that. You know, bring up your realization, reduce your WIP, increase your leverage, and the profits will follow. So I encourage all of our listeners to reach out to Pat and learn more. Pat, we'll look forward to seeing you at next year's conference when we reconvene down in Dallas. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Jeff, it was my pleasure. Thank you for your partnership. Thanks for letting me dial in today. And thank you all for listening. It's been a pleasure.
That's it for today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. And there we have it. Another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.